What is it that we oftentimes talk about? Why are we here? Why do we die? Good questions, huh? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, Absolute Monastery here in Campo, California, and I think you got the message, it's here in Campo, California. Bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Now, before we digress to our subject, let us mention what Absolute Philosopher is. The Absolute Philosopher is a philosopher who thinks about anything, because Absolute is everything. And so the Absolute Philosopher thinks about anything and everything. And so today we're going to think a little bit about anything and everything. Why are we born and why do we die? In everyone's life comes an experience of birth. I mean, you know, you had your own birth. But in everyone's life comes the experience of birth, where some infant, child, dog, cat, mouse, rat, whatever it is, comes forth, and they're beautiful. The little tiny babies are always so snuggly. Whether it's a mouse or a little baby snake or a little baby lizard or a little baby human, you know, whatever it is, it's always so snuggly and so cuddly and so wonderful. You just, sometimes they're not, but that's rare. Most of the time, they're snuggly, huggly, and wonderful. Now, they come out of the package that way. You open up the package at the store, home or the bank or at the hospital or wherever you have your child born, taxi cab, and when the child comes forth, he gives out a lusty yell, "I'm here! I'm ready to be fed! You know, I have a new system going now. I want to use my mouth instead of my umbilical cord. Come on now, where's something to feed me?" You know, that's what he's shouting about. He doesn't say, "I'm angry, I hate the world, I don't like being here." He doesn't say that. He says, "I got a new system going. I'm hungry. What are you going to do about it?" And so, what do? We feed him. Now, if we are a woman, and we have a breast, and we breastfeed the baby, and we are breastfeeding the baby, and we're breastfeeding the baby, we're feeding the baby with our breast, out of our body comes the fluid, the milk, that feeds the baby. Now, our body is filled with all the emotions and all the attitudes and all the conditions that go on inside of us. Now, wow. Wow. We better get our act in order. If we're going to nurse a baby, we better be peaceful and calm. No problems, no anxieties, no worries. No worries about the bills, no worried about what our husband is doing or what the world is doing, not watching dramatic TV shows to amuse ourselves, you know. But making ourselves the most beautiful garden from which the most beautiful product can be grown. The product of our own milk for our baby. Okay, now, I would say the majority of the babies come through pretty good, because the mothers have so much love, so much unconditional love in them, that even if their garden has a few weeds in it, the unconditional love sort of washes over it all. And that's kind of nice. That's why 99% of the people on the face of the earth are living in their original purity and integrity. Now, hey, how about the preemies, the little babies that are born premature? What happens there? Well, it all depends on what hospital they're taken to, what hospital they're in, what preemie ward they're in. If they're with Doris Steiger, then she picks up the preemie baby that comes into her attention, and it doesn't have a mommy to feed it, doesn't have anything. They try to get the mommies to come in and feed them, you know, but nurse them if they can. But some of them are even too small to do that. But if Doris is there, she greets the little angel and says, "Welcome to the world. What joy are you going to bring to the world? What wonderful magic are you going to bring to the world? you're so wonderful, you're so beautiful, you're so perfect, you're so great. And so the next day they take the baby out of the preemie ward and put him in a natural ward, normal ward, with special care, and so the baby can develop. And this is not a joke. This is not a joke. If you want to have this factual information, talk to Art's wife, or talk to Doris, or talk to any nurse in any hospital, and they will tell you that the babies that leave there the quickest develop the fastest. Those that remain in the preemie ward needing help, are the ones that aren't going to do too well. But those that can get out, well, you say, well, if they're so premature, they have to be in oxygen things and stuff like that. Well, that's okay, too. But did you ever have a preemie baby in your arms? I have. I went into Doris's ward. We did. And we had a great time. I didn't even scrub up because I wasn't going to be handling those babies. I was going to just be observing from the background. And Anita and Gertrude and Irene, they all scrubbed up and they all looked like nurses, you know, the water dripping down their sleeves and something, booty on their special smock. And me, I was just me. And so, what happens? Doris says, Herb, sit there. And so I sit there. You know, I'm always very obedient. And she says, here, take this. And she hands me this prematurely born baby. It's a real neat little Mexican boy. You know, just a super little guy. And so I'm talking to him, and he's yawning at me, and we're talking back and forth, and we're just having a great time. I got a video of it, even. And it's just so, so lovely. Well, now, I said, when does he go home? Whenever he wants to. He's stabilizing now, and he's doing just fine. You know, he was here overnight or something like that, maybe a day or two, but not long. And she says, I tell every one of these babies that they're God, that they're fantastic, that they're glorious, that they're good. And the babies just sparkle. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. No, you're not telling me anything new. And then they try to put upon them their values, and that's where they get in trouble. You see, Doris has a different set of social home values than another family might, you know. And not that her values are wrong or right, but they're her values. Now, what kind of values does this baby want to grow up with? Well, and I would just like to think, when I think of a Mexican family, and I think of a Mexican family as being a very devoted family to their children. And they love their children, and everyone else does too, hopefully. But the thing is, they definitely love their children. We know them. And they will jump to help their children to stand by their side no matter what's going on, no matter what is necessary to do. They might be in the middle of frying a hamburger, and they'll leave it and throw it off the stove, and they'll run to see what's going on with their child, wherever their child may be. Now, you see, that's values. That's values. And then, what does the father do? The wife dies, the father remarries. He doesn't just shack up with somebody, you know, and have that person take care of the baby, because the person doesn't have a social relationship with the baby. But when they marry, then the person they marry has a social relationship with the family and the baby. But now, these are all values. Now, these little children that are born, they're born very special. And every parent who has a child should be with that child after that child is born. They are with the child before they're born, but they should be with them after they're born. And if they're not with the child after they're born, then the child does what it has to do and leaves. It dies. Because it has no other purpose. Now, if the child is a love child, I don't mean married out of marriage, but if a child is a love child that every parent, that each mother and father dearly love the child, ooh, wow, my baby, ooh, wow, you know, whether it's premature or whether it's anything, they're there at that child's bedside, blessing that child, showering that child with unconditional love, showering that child with blessings of peace and harmony and goodness, showering that child. And sometimes the showering this child, I would say most of the time, it brings great results. And sometimes it doesn't bring the results that you expect. The child dies. And then you say to yourself, why did the child die? Well, the child died because every child, every being born on the face of the earth comes here for a purpose. They come here for a purpose, and that is to be what?
Themselves and have fun.
To be themselves and have fun, and to be unconditional love. See, that's a big part of it. To be themselves and have fun, but to be unconditional love. Now, they spread that unconditional love on anyone in their awareness. And so it goes to the family. It goes to the friends. It goes to the neighborhood. It goes to the nation. It goes everywhere. As wide as we want to encourage it to be. And when a little tyke comes in and does its job and gets it done in a short time and dies quite early in life, maybe even within days or weeks or months after it's born, we say, oh, why? Well, it finished its job. Now, why does any consciousness choose to come into any family? Why does you don't say a Mexican consciousness, but a Mexican consciousness come to a Mexican family, and a German consciousness come to a German family, and so forth, you know, because they are those consciousness. Because what I'm saying by these consciousnesses, I'm saying, what is their attitude toward life? What is their what are their values? And I guess this really is true. What are their values? You're born into German values, or French values, or Swiss values, or Mexican values, all which are very exquisite, very beautiful when you know them. And even when you don't know them, they're beautiful and wonderful. Now, so a child is born into a particular family, into particular values. And then the child says, I have come here because I am going to be a love bug, and I'm going to spread love over this family. And this family may have been having all sorts of troubles, but I'm going to be there. Now, it might come into the family, and the family needs to have something that ties it together. So it comes into that family as a mongoloid child, a child who is not able to do everything like every other child is able to do. And you say, why is a mongoloid born into my family? Well, stop and think. It should be and can be and is in most cases a uniting child. A child that unites the family together to see the child whole and perfect, to love the child regardless of the appearances. Now you see, it's easy to love a child who's whole and perfect. It's hard to love a child who has a problem. And when a child has a problem, and you can love that child, then that child has taught the lesson it has come to teach. And when you learn that lesson, that child may die young, or it may live in a long, long life, depending upon what the child chooses to do. Because, you know, you come into this world, and you say, okay, I am here because I am sharing love so that the family can be united in love, and its greater family can be united, and the world can be united. Okay, I've done it. Now let's see. I think I will, and this is silly, but I think I'll become a skier now. I'll take on another avocation, you know, another area that I'd like to play. Or I'll prepare for the Olympics. You know, I'll prepare for the Olympics. And why does anyone in their right mind prepare for the Olympics? And it costs a lot of money, it takes a lot of time, and you got to work your heart out to prepare yourself to be the top quality person in the Olympics. And then some win, some lose. And only a few can win, you know, because many enter, but only a few can win because they only got a few first prizes, you know. And then everybody else gets a fourth prize. But only the first three get the first three prizes, you know, that are really top grade prizes. But the thing is, why do these people come to the Olympics? They come to the Olympics because they want to do and see what their body can do. They want to see how well their body can swim or run or jump or play. You know, they want to, that's an enjoy. Carly Egli is a crazy guy. He was reading about the Olympics in New York City, the walking, running Olympics, and he decided, I'm going to go and do that. Well, Carly is a normal father of two children and his wife, and living in Switzerland, and being a businessman and driving in his very comfy cars and very comfy home and very comfy office and so on. And he's going to go and take a week and run in the Olympics in New York. No preparation. So he takes the plane and flies over there, and he buys his little pants and his little shirt to go to run in, and his shoes, and he starts running in the Olympics, you know, no preparation. And he comes in, he never mentioned the number, but he comes in like maybe 3,000, you know, out of 100,000 people running. He comes in 3,000, and he's walking into the finish line, across the finish line, with a little old lady who's pushing herself in a wheelchair. Beautiful, you know? And you think to yourself, now, what benefit would that be to Carly to do that? Well, he did it for himself. And the fact that this little old lady in a wheelchair did it at the same time made his joy even greater, because he said, and this little lady came in a wheelchair right next to me, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know. He did it for the fun of it. And he's always doing everything in life for the fun of it. In fact, he's always sending us beautiful contributions for the fun of it. We love that too. But nonetheless, why was he born? Why was Carly born? To be the businessman, to be the father, to be the husband, to do whatever he's doing, or to be himself and have fun? And every time he turns around, he's being himself and having fun. People come and go in his world. His wife died, and he was very sad about that, because she didn't have to die, and she just was ready to go. She finished what she wanted to do here, and she said, I'm going. And she went. Now, why did she die? Anyone got the answer?
Because she wanted to.
She chose to. Why do babies die?
Because they wanted to.
They finished what they're going to do. They chose to. And that's not bad. Now, why did you go to the bathroom? Because I chose to. Why did you go to Campo? Why did you stay in Switzerland there with your family and be yourself and have fun? Because I thought it'd be fun to come to Campo. Are you having fun?
Yes.
You can say it loud enough so you can hear it.
Yes.
Thank you. You see, people don't think I'm just talking to myself here. Okay. Now, what if you were to say, okay, I'm done, I'm going to die. And you die right here in Campo. And so we have to take care of you. And we're not going to monkey with you. We're going to take you to the crematorium and put you in a little bottle, you know. And then if anybody wants you back in Switzerland, we'll ship you back, you know. But we don't want to ship a whole body back that's just going to be put in the ground, you know, stuff like that. It's silly. So, you see, it's not the body. Death is not the body. Because the real you lives eternally. This child that's having, he goes into other dimensions of experience. He goes into other experiences that are delightful and wonderful. Now, dogs do that too. Our friend Jeff Provence, he had a lovely, lovely dog named, and the dog was just wonderful. And the children loved the dog, and the wife loved the dog, and everyone loved the dog. Well, then the dog had an incurable disease. And they did everything they could to prevent the disease from claiming the dog, but the dog says, hey, this is my choice, I'm going. And he says, but I love you, arf, arf, arf. And no more sound. And he was gone. And they loved him, and they released him. And they said, hey, that's nice. We're going to get two dogs next time, they said. Now, isn't that smart? Isn't that cool? And they realized that they participated in a great experience having a dog, a great experience having another life that they could love. Okay, now, what was the dog doing? It was being itself and having fun. What's the family doing? Being themselves and having fun. Now, death is no more than someone getting on a boat and going across the ocean. You don't see him anymore. They have left your vision, but they're still in your heart. And they themselves have not died, because there is no death. There is only the time now. And we have these illusions. And do we look at the tree and say the tree is dead? Or do we think of the thousands and millions of seeds that that tree has dropped, and that living through those seeds? Now, that you can understand, but can you understand that it doesn't need the seeds to live through? Lao Tse, Confucius, Zarathustra, Buddha, all great teachers of the past, Jesus. Did Jesus need the disciples to live through? They blew it, you know. What do people live through that Jesus left us? His teaching, his philosophy, his life. When we think of Jesus, do we think of the man, or do we think of the things he taught? You see? When we think of God, do we think of the man, or do we think of the things God taught, or God is? And we say, hey, well, we're each God. That's true. Okay, now, what is, we spoke about a little death here. Now, what is it that we're here for? What is it that we're living for? Why are you born, Ingeborg? Why are you born?
It's an eternal question.
And I think that Ingeborg is brilliant, absolutely brilliant. She is off on her own tangent and not interested in anything that I'm saying. Ingeborg, you are born to be yourself and
myself
have fun.
And having fun.
Say it again.
Yes, I am born to be myself and having fun.
And once again.
I am born to be myself and having fun.
Ellen?
I am born to be myself and having fun. I am born to be myself and have fun.
Beatrice?
Yes?
Ends.
Yes? I am born to be myself and having fun.
Sylvia? Ends.
I'm born to be myself and having fun.
Anita ends. No, Anita Loop.
I am myself and I have fun.
Ellen Jeremini.
I'm born to be myself and having fun.
And I'm Ingeborg Puckert. I am myself and I have fun.
My being myself and having fun.
All that sort of stuff. You see, when we rearrange the phrasing and we put in our own phrasing, we're confusing our audience. Our audience wants to learn, I like me, 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 until it drives right through the wall. And then after a while, you find, hey, I do like myself. Whatever I didn't like myself about before, I like myself now, because I have put this cause in motion so strongly, so perfectly, so beautifully that it is done. Now, we can say these phrases to ourselves any way we want, but if we are consistent and we say it, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole, I am my original purity and integrity. I am my original. You see, these statements all are designed to fulfill a given purpose, and that's why we do it. Now, being yourself and having fun, that means going contrary to the program once in a while, you know. But when you go contrary to the program, you know what that's like? Going up a wrong way street the right way. Going up a one-way street the wrong way. You know what I mean? And it can be very bothersome. You got to keep your eyes open because people are coming at you and you got to wiggle around them. And it is not always that much fun. But when you go on a one-way street the right way, you're in the flow of traffic. And you can just go along and have a ball. So, remember that. As you're living your lives, as you're doing whatever you're doing, you might think you're cute by saying it your own way. You might think you're creative saying it your own way. But I would like to suggest to you, as long as you think you're in school, and we are a school here, as long as you think you're in school, then do it the way the school teaches you. Once you get out on your own, you'll have that foundation to stand on. And then, if you want, you can learn new ways of doing things, new ways of expressing. When you go to fly casting school, you have a long fly casting rod, and you have a little tiny fly on the end. And so you take it and you weave it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth until the fly goes out a great deal, great distance, and then you let it set on the water. And as you do, at first it just sits there quietly, and then a fish sees it and jumps up and grabs it, and you caught a fish. But that's just one way. Now, the masters of fly catching have many other techniques that they use. They know how to put a little snap on it to make it go out another 20 feet, or they know how to put a hook or a curve or slice or hook on it to make it go left or right. They know all, it's magic. You say, how could they do that? Well, are any of you smart enough, or you're all smart enough, are any of you practiced in the ways of throwing a boomerang? Have any of you thrown a boomerang successfully that went exactly where you wanted it to go, or that went out and came and landed at your feet? Have you ever done that? Now, perhaps you haven't, but I would imagine none of you have. And the reason that you haven't is you just haven't been in that environment. But now, you go to Australia where they like to throw boomerangs, and or New Zealand too, and just Australia, and you might learn how to throw a boomerang. And because it's just something to do. Well, now, you can learn how to play baseball. You can learn any sport game if you choose to. But you have to first visualize the game as fun to learn it. So, when I say to you, I like me, 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 I say, say it, say it, until it just goes wiggling out your head. And you say, but. No. Practice the piano. Da 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 da. You know, da 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 da. And then, after a time of practicing the piano, everybody else is crazy. You've driven them off the wall. But you begin to have it sink in. And then, da 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 da. And then jazz it up. And then after a while, after you, first you learned it, then you jazzed it, and then you went back to what you learned. Because you find that the magnificence of what you learned, if you will, the correct way to do it. How did Beethoven mean to have this music expressed? Now, there are many musicians today who play Beethoven and Bach and all of these other various composers, and they jazz it up so that the new generation can enjoy it. And they have a program on YouTube where this man is teaching a class in music. And he's playing this jazzy song, which you think is modern day jazz. And he said, this is what we have done to the great composer. And he said, this is what the great composer created. And then he plays beautifully what the great composer played. And then he says, and this is what we've done to it, because we had to make it fit into our modern generation of speed and dashing and so forth. And so then he played it jazzy. And immediately your heart says, wow, I liked what the composer had planned. I liked the original creation. And so you go back to the original creation. And if I may say, you go back to your original purity and integrity. And when you go back to your original purity and integrity and stop fighting it, stop trying to say, got to jazz it up, got to live it up, got to live by new values because we're in a new generation, we're in a new way of looking at things, and stop doing it. Just be yourself and have fun. And when you are, then your life will have been really worthwhile. Everything you do on this planet Earth will have been significant and rewarding and fulfilling for you. But when you go against your own inner self, your original purity and integrity, your original design, then life is pure hell. And you live in constant hell. You're living in constant, everybody's picking on you, everybody's got their nose in your business, everybody wants to tell you what to do. That's because you don't know who you are. But when you know who you are, and you're number one, and you like yourself, and you do everything that makes you happy, be yourself and have fun. Wow. Everybody looks at you and says, What a beautiful person. What a lovely person. They don't even know. They don't even know that you're different from them. They don't even know that. They just know that you like yourself. And that's all they know. Now, isn't that one of the most important things we could ever come to the awareness of? Terrific. So you see, death is just fine. That's just one of the phases that we go through. And death, from our real understanding, is letting the physical body go while we go into another dimension. So if the child who was in perfect health died for any reason, he was ready to go on to his next dimension. Because you cannot kill another person. Wars cannot kill them. Nothing can kill them. It's you put yourself in harm's way for you to have the experience. And if you're not really ready to die, no matter how dramatic the circumstances may be, they'll put you back together. You fall out of an airplane, they sew you back together. It depends on what you want to do. And that's true. That's true. So be yourself and have fun, and know that I like me so much that when I look at you, I see a reflection of me, and man, you're wonderful. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.